Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the final episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap up for season two. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and with me today is the one, the only birthday boy himself, Mr. Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
Maggie, I've been recording this podcast since I was 24. I'm 25 now. So long. From that point.
Wild. No, seriously. I was 26 the whole time. So.
But just as
I don't
a whole
share
different
that
person.
Journey with you, but I understand what you mean.
We've came into a new age, yeah. And I am so happy to be. This has been a super long journey.
It has been. We started recording when you were still in Texas.
Yes.
And since then, you've moved to New York City. We've hung out a bunch. We were hanging out on Saturday. Jacob had a bunch of friends visiting, and I had him come to the club that I was at. And we, I got him a shot for his birthday.
He's
got a little wild.
It's got wild.
There was friend commingling happening.
It was
great. And here we are. Look at us.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought
6 months later?
You and Kirsten both. Like, I've said to you this, in private, off pod. But it's so crazy how you and Kirsten both, my two co-hosts, I've become, genuinely very close friends.
Yes,
Which I think, that happens when you have scheduled time to hang out with your friends, and then, you just get to talking about more stuff. But it's been so amazing. It's been so great for our friendship to grow over the past 6 months doing this.
We don't just talk about
coming along for the ride.
Honestly, thank y'all all. And we don't just, it's so funny because we don't just, talk about, Real Housewives. You know what I mean? We talk about, life. Who's, what's going on in each other's life? Just, who's causing you distress at this point? It's just, everything.
And, exactly.
And it's so fun. And it's so, glad. Because even before this, we kind of knew each other a little bit, but not that much. Mm-hmm. We met once.
We were definitely friendly.
Yeah, we were definitely friendly.
For sure, friendly. I was actually thinking about it. I was like, how did we really start talking? Because we met in June in person.
It was Instagram Live. Instagram takeovers. When I DM'd you and I was like, how come we have not been on a podcast together? And then,
oh my gosh.
And then something Sam. And then I asked you that question on Instagram, when you took over the Instagram for RHAP Grams. And then you reposted and it's like, we need to do one for the upcoming Big Brother season. We're going to message Sam Moore. So we got put in a text message group with Sam Moore, who's on production for RHAP. Great job, hard worker. And that's kind of how it started, I think. Shout out to Sam.
Great job, hard worker. Shout out to Sam.
And so it was, I think that's how we kind of, the origin of us started.
Wait, since the last time we podcasted, we've hung out twice.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
That's
great.
I hope that if you've been following
along with us, you have been really listening to our friendship truly blossom.
No, literally.
How the end of last week's episode, he said something that he just forgot we were still recording.
Yikes. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. So to bring it back to what we're here for,
yes.
I mean, honestly, Jacob, at this point, if you're here for this finale podcast and want to hear, you've been with us for a long time. Nobody's popping in to see what we have to say about the finale of the season. So thank you all for being with us on this
journey.
And
if you haven't liked us, you probably tapped out when I was mispronouncing words and when Maggie was flirting with me. So that's
what
you do.
But we're here for the flirters and the people who,
incoherent thoughts
are illiterate. So yeah, exactly. Do you like flirting and are you illiterate?
This podcast
is for you. Anyways, I will say we got on the Zoom call today before we started recording and I was like, Jacob, honestly, I thought this was a really lovely conclusion because I felt like we actually had somewhere to go. we didn't leave with people literally hating each other, being like, I will never, ever speak to this person again. We at least left with people being like, there's room for reconciliation, which always means that there will be drama next mm-hmm. season. Because if there's room for a friendship, that means that they might try for a friendship and most likely fail. Yeah. So I think that that was really great. I thought that the husbands, like, honestly, shed so much light on so many things. Like having the husbands there, having Sharif there, mm-hmm. there is so much I cannot wait to get into yeah. with you. Like I was watching the episode while I was nannying today. I was home. I was there all day because one of the kids was sick. And I was watching the episode with my headphones in. Obviously, it's not appropriate for children. but he was like sick on the couch, so he was watching a movie. And Sharif was talking, and I literally out loud was like, no! And the kid was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I was like, it's just very dramatic.
Very dramatic. That I'm watching. Very dramatic. And I thought it was a lot of, again, what you said, insights. But I think the husbands humbled a lot of the situations that we like, that, you know, when the mm-hmm. women got into different arguments, I feel like the husbands oftentimes can provide a very grounding thought. And it, mm-hmm. to me, I'm glad that, to me, like, a lot of the husbands made me happy just like hearing their thoughts on the situation, because they didn't, it's not like they advocated for like, oh yeah, stump a mud hole through that girl's, you know, chest, you know, she, it was like, it was it, and you're like,
okay, Sam, baby 20.
I have to sneeze. I'm like, I have to, sorry, everyone. I just had a sneezing attack. But it wasn't anything like that. And it was like, hey, like, you know, friendships go through ebbs and flows. And it was a nice, like, sounding voice. Mm-hmm. And I think the husbands kind of added to the conclusion of this season very well. And so I'm glad that mm-hmm. it happened.
Well, do you want to get into it? Yeah. Because I would love to start with, like, I would love to start. I know that this isn't in order, but this is who I want to talk about the most. I want to talk about Seth, mm-hmm. Meredith's husband. Mm-hmm. Because I have gone on record on this podcast to say I think Seth is a dog mm-hmm. and I do not like him. I am not here for him. But I'm not going to lie. This episode and also the response on social media to the criticism of his Reagan Bush mm-hmm. shirt has sort of changed a bit my view on Seth. Like so for those of you who like don't remember, just to like refresh your memory, the finale episode, Meredith, Seth, and their children did a Glad photo shoot. Brooks and Chloe, they did a Glad photo shoot. And then in the very next scene, Seth was seen at Lisa's party in a Reagan Bush 84 shirt, which if you are not, you know, caught up to speed. The AIDS epidemic happened when Reagan was in office. He brushed it under the rug and allowed thousands and hundreds of thousands of gay men to die mm-hmm. Due to his lack of research and lack of care about the crisis. So it just like left a really, really poor taste in my mouth. And I guess it left a poor taste in a lot of people's mouths because apparently he was getting a lot of messages mm-hmm. and like a lot of heat from it online. And I saw a response that he sent to someone about it that was like very, very thoughtful and very much like, I still clearly have a lot to learn. Like I had no idea, which honestly, if you're going to do a Glad photo shoot, you should educate yourself mm-hmm. about matters like that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just put on a rainbow shirt and be like, yay. But at least like taking accountability and being like, obviously it wasn't meant in an offensive way, but it was taken that way. You know, that's all you can really hope yeah. for and hope that he does better in the future. And I thought that, you know, he really did, like I saw on this reunion, even though he wasn't physically there, I was like, oh, okay. I see why Meredith is with mm-hmm. him. Do you know what yes, I mean?
No, I mean, I feel like I've said this last podcast or the podcast before that I was like really liking Seth. It was when mm-hmm. I heard that he came to Mary's like rescue, quote unquote, in a sense, when she got the glass mm-hmm. on and he was what she said in the after show that he was the only one to check up on her. And I was like, wow, I love Seth for that. And it made me happy and it made me smile. And yeah, Seth has made like so many dumbass comments on this mm-hmm. show. Yeah. But to even see,
but
even
he
to see,
sort of explained it.
He explained it, and even, and I, it was very like heartwarming, just to see that mm-hmm. Meredith does have that support and that he kind of like yes. wanted to make an ass of himself to like bring laughs, bring more joy, bring a lighter note to this mm-hmm. hard season that his wife was going to endure and going through at the time. And, I, Seth earned a lot of respect for me when he did check on Mary after the glass was done, but also when he kind of, you know, explained his thought process about the shirt and holding himself accountable to just to the ignorance mm-hmm. that he was you know that he had in regards to that, but also mm-hmm. in response to how the season went, how much his wife was dealing with during the season and everything else. So Seth, I'm like, dang, kind of cool.
Yeah, he said that, like, you know, there was just so much heaviness and it was like so hard for Meredith. Just emotionally for her, she went through so much, and to have cameras in her face, like, she was just not in a place where that was good for her. So that's why in all of the scenes, literally every single scene you saw with him, when he was like acting a fool, I'm sure it's so that he could take some attention off of her, because he knew it was very hard for her. And even like in response to, you know, Andy's like, so what did you think about Lisa saying that Meredith had sex with half of New York? He said, did she mention that I had sex with the other half? Like, really bringing light to it. Like, I can tell that when things get heavy for Meredith, like, she really leans on Seth to sort of be her like guiding mm-hmm. light there. And I just thought that it was really, and even like there are so many people who, like, I mean, clearly Lisa's husband John does not have the dry wit of Seth Marks. You know, he looks like a robot. Literally. But like,
he has some wet moments. Ooh.
But like, okay, all right, well, we'll get there. But I just think that, like, you know, there are so many people in that moment who would like clam up or be like, well, yeah, screw her, mm-hmm. like, you know. But he like really was able to bring levity to it, which I thought was really great.
Yeah, was.
I was impressed. I was. This episode. I was impressed with Meredith's family.
We love a Meredith Marks impression, and we love Meredith. I love Meredith.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Do you want to go to any of the other husbands right now?
I feel like,
or should we?
I feel like we can easily, like, Justin was there, but I didn't, like, their thing wasn't really anything.
Yeah, I mean, they just were talking about, basically, so to explain, like, Whitney didn't use half of their savings mm-hmm. account. They had specific savings apparently set aside to buy a cabin, like a yeah. vacation home. And she took half of those savings to put into her business. So it seems as though it was like they were choosing between
a cabin and Whitney's business. And so I would have went with that the way they went as well. So.
Exactly. But that was basically the only thing they really focused yeah. on, I felt.
I loved, and this is still talking about the husbands, I loved seeing when they were taught, when Andy was, you know, questioning, oh, John, you were in the car when Jen was yelling at Lisa over the phone. And mm-hmm. And then Jen blurted out saying, oh, well, like, you haven't done that to me. And then John kind of echoed that point with, yeah, I have been around numerous times when Jen and Lisa aren't being the nicest to each other. And so I love that he could have mm-hmm. brought that, like, okay, like, let's keep it. Everyone has done wrong. And I love that he just wasn't mm-hmm. excusing his wife's behavior on numerous accounts. And even when it got brought mm-hmm. back to, like, oh, what were your thoughts with Lisa's comments about Meredith and how he didn't really, like, make an excuse for Lisa. And he was like, it was messed up and X, Y, and Z. But I feel like the one husband that brought us the most content and just, like, being vocal was Sharif. Coach Shaw.
Oh my gosh. Sharif. Okay, look. I have a crush on Coach Shaw. This will document it on this podcast. Okay. And I just was like, oh my gosh. Like, how can you not love him? But he's also just like so warm mm-hmm. and wise and strong. Like, I was just like, this man, like, I would imagine that I would just feel like safe
yeah.
in his presence, yeah. you know? And he's so smart and has such amazing things to say, which is why sometimes I'm like, he is with Jen,
no,
who like will fight somebody in a Sprinter van. Like, what's going on? But, you know, love is patient. Love is kind.
I thought you were about to say love is blind. I was about to say Maggie.
No,
I literally thought you were about to say love is blind. But no, Sharif, like, out of all the husbands, I enjoyed him the most because he touched on a lot of different things. And he got grilled mm-hmm. for a lot of different things as well. But one thing that I really loved that he said was pointing an emphasis at therapy within the Black male community. And even like how that's like taboo mm-hmm. and just like, oh, we don't do that growing up. Like, you know, I can kind of identify with certain things. It's like we are like what happens in our house. We keep it like in our house. We don't like talk to anyone about it. And that could really mess up your mind if you don't really relinquish those thoughts and relinquish those like aspects of your life and talk about them. And so I love the fact that he pinpointed that. And I love the fact that he was just a support system for his wife, kind of a strong support mm-hmm. system for his wife and kind of breaking us in on the mental kind of place that Jen Shah has been during this time. Even saying that mm-hmm. like sometimes she has not like gotten out of bed and the kids have to come and like give her a kiss and just having that more humbling effect mm-hmm. On Jen in this entire situation, because it kind of can take, you know, the season highlighted, oh, Jen Shah got arrested. Like that's what like a major storyline was. Mm-hmm. But I just love the support that Jen Shah has with her husband and you know, and everything that has to deal with mm-hmm. that.
I also think that, you know, I saw a lot of discourse online about this, about the fact that like people feel sympathy for Jen after the reunion that they did not feel for Erica Jane mm-hmm. after this particular episode. And I was like, I really wonder if it's because we finally got a peek into seeing Jen through somebody's eyes who really, really loves her. Mm. Like we got to see Jen through Sharif's eyes versus just Jen trying to defend herself. Mm-hmm. And when you are talking about yourself, like you don't often have a clear picture mm-hmm. of yourself. Like you can say like, I'm smart, I'm accomplished, you know, whatever, like I didn't do this, but I think sometimes it's hard. And like, but Sharif is such a reliable narrator that, and at least comes off yeah. that way. Like he could be lying through his teeth mm-hmm. about all of this, but like me sitting on my couch, I was like, Sharif is so telling the truth about everything. Like I was like, I think that that also really helped. You know, he's talking about like he and his sons are the ones getting Jen out of bed every day. And I think to hear it through his eyes really likened me to her a bit more.
No,
you know?
Definitely. And I think a lot of difference. I saw the discourse too about, oh, why is Jen, or some people were saying, oh, Jen is not getting the same fire, like targeting treatment as Erica Jane. And a lot of the characteristics pointing out, they're completely different people. And yeah. like Jen is, I think, way more open and likable and has, mm-hmm. like Erica was saying, pity me, pity me, pity me. Like, look at the position I'm in compared to Jen. But also their positions in the case are very different. Erica's yes. husband was mm-hmm. Jen in this situation and Sharif was Erica mm-hmm. in this situation. You know, so that kind of that mm-hmm. thing is kind of weird. But yeah, I thought Sharif handled himself very well. And I liked it.
We have to get into the fact that Sharif corroborated the fucking story yes. about her call in the Sprinter van. And this was when I was like, what? Because this was when I was like, I believe every word Sharif says, but I was so confused. This was when I like yelled yeah. and was like, what? So he said that he was being examined for health issues and one of his assistants called Jen on her phone and said that he needed to go to the hospital. The doctor had told him he needed to go to the hospital because of his bleeding. And he specified it was rectal bleeding mm-hmm. that he was having.
Wait, okay. That's
a GI bleed.
GI. I never heard of that.
Gastrointestinal.
Oh, okay. Yikes. Yeah, yeah. He did say that. I was just like,
so okay. yeah. I mean, he could have Crohn's yeah. disease, you know, like there's, I mean, look, not speculating on his health. I'm just saying like, there's a million reasons why mm-hmm. that could happen. And you should go to the hospital if you're bleeding from you have GI bleeding. I was just like, what? Like, do you believe this at all, Jacob?
No, I do not. Because I feel as though with something like that, we've seen different receipts come out about this. And so I feel like today, mm-hmm. everything, I feel a receipt or some type of paperwork documenting that day or an email statement or a bill, like at that time, at that day when he checked into the mm-hmm. hospital should have been supplied. Because you're on a show where people are definitely going to yeah. knock all these different things. And we saw Lisa Barlow try to come up with a receipt, you know, what bad weather said, oh, anyone can come up with text messages. We've seen It's like different ladies like call Cameron in to verify your story. And so I honestly feel if it was true, they would have provided
that would have
ceased everything. Like a receipt or a transcript
or something. I want to believe him.
Or an email, just like with a date and with a time.
I love Sheree.
But I don't buy it just because of that. Because if they would have dared it, then it would have been no question. But they didn't.
Okay. And this is the thing that I also was thinking about, because I also was like, I want to believe him so badly, but I also don't. Like, if you had come in like ready to fight for the fact that it was true, I could have been swayed that it was true. Mm-hmm. But also, I do think that like a big part of it is I was like, okay, so she did not get arrested for evading arrest.
Yeah.
So like there was no charge of that. So her lying about this cannot get her into any legal trouble. Mm-hmm. So she can't just lie, you know?
Yeah.
And might as well, because if she said she got tipped off and left, she maybe could get arrested for that.
Could you get arrested? Like if someone says, hey, the cops are looking for you. Oh, I'm going to. Like, who knows where she was driving? Maybe she was driving back at home.
I think evading arrest is like a thing.
Okay. Maybe it is.
So I think maybe if she went on national television and admitted she was tipped off and was running away, that could be a charge against her.
And that just makes her look guilty when she's trying to paint herself, or she actually is guilty. You know what I mean? So it just,
I know.
But so that's why I'm just like, I don't, Sheree, you're very likable, but I feel like this story was cool. They probably talked behind the scenes with her lawyers and said, hey, you can say this, but I just feel like if they could have had a receipt or something to denounce everything completely, I would have been 100% on it.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I don't want to talk about Dewey because I don't want to give Jenny and Dewey any more airtime. So let's skip it. I'm so bored with them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's skip it. Okay. All this is to say, the only thing I will say is that Jacob's point that he brought up about Sheree saying that within the Black community, therapy is frowned upon and it absolutely should not be. Dewey echoed that statement and said within the Asian American community, it's the same way. So that's the only thing I thought of relevance that I wanted to talk about with them. So basically, this is a big part of the second half of this reunion, which is Jen saying that she doesn't like the idea of, and I quoted this, I wanted to get her exact words. Jen, this brown girl and her Black husband, how did they get all this money? And she said this when Sheree was out there. And she said, you know, Sheree worked 13 years as a lawyer and also was an NFL scout at the time. And he was like, Seth, you know how much money they make? And Seth was like, yeah, I wish I did that. And then she said, you know, Sheree doesn't coach Little League. He's a D1 coach for the Big 12. But the thing is, you know, his salary is public. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So people found his salary. It's like six figures.
We talked about that on here, I believe.
In the ones. Yeah. So his salary is public. So they found that. But I would imagine he probably gets bonuses. Mm-hmm. He gets per diems for traveling. Yeah. I would imagine it's considerably more than what he, you know, is showing. Mm-hmm. But I thought that I wanted to bring that up because that comes up a couple of times later that I think that she, for Jen, a big sticking point for her is that she feels like people are, being racist against her and her husband. Yeah. That saying that they have no idea where all this money came from because how could they have this money? Mm-hmm. You know? Do you have thoughts on that?
Just in Jen's position that she's in now, like, I'm like, I would have questions as well with the, you're being indicted for fraud. And as we saw, like, even, you know, we've seen a couple of times, like, I feel like every person on this show, you can see where they got their money from. Or it makes sense for Whitney, her husband, which I'm glad they touched on the case of that Justin's company, pyramid scheme in there.
Like, pyramid scheme.
And I'm glad they touched on that. And Whitney, you know, Beauty Lab. Lisa has her PR company, Invita Tequila. Meredith, I feel like Meredith has explained everything and what Seth does. I can't really put it into words, but I just know they have. And Mary, her church and the inheritance that she gotten from her grandmother. And who else is there? Mm-hmm. And Jenny and her husband, which we've
Jenny, who owns many medical spas, her husband is a doctor.
Sorry,
a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. You did that on purpose, mm-hmm. Maggie. You did that on purpose. So, and I feel the question with Jen is
I'm being specific.
I love it. The question with Jen surrounding hers, it was like, well, how do you? We know your what your husband does, but I feel like Jen's lifestyle was very much exuberant. And if we're putting two and two together, it's hard, but I can still mm-hmm. understand how she can be in that mindset of like, oh, I'm the only brown girl. My husband, the only black guy here. And why are we being questioned? I think you do, especially when white women are questioning you about that. It is very like,
of course,
get off my case. And do you think like you're better than me? Like, why are you being so damn nosy? But the case is not helping. And the question marks are surrounding her. Her lifestyle and both of their jobs is not helping mm-hmm. as well.
The case, like you said, the case is not helping. I thought that what Meredith said was really fabulous because this is how I feel about it. She was like, I said that I didn't understand what your business was. I don't count other people's money. And like, as somebody who personally doesn't really understand money mm-hmm. all that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an artist, so I don't really, like, I don't have a ton of money. I don't come from, like, a ton of money. My family was fine, but, you know, there was not, like, 17 businesses mm-hmm. or a lot of... So I don't really understand it. So, like, I never count other people's money. Like, I'm just like, oh, wow, they must have money. You know, like, Jen having that much money, I was just like, wow, she is one rich lady. Yeah. Like, I never thought of anything other than that. But I think that what Whitney pointed out, she was like, I've just never had a friend who spends money mm-hmm. like you, which is bullshit because her and Heather were just bragging to Lisa on part one of the reunion that Angie and her husband took them on their private yacht in Mexico and treated them. So
that
like
Angie's husband paid for it and John could never pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, sure. You've never had a friend who spends money like that as you're like literally, you know, anyways. But I just thought that it was like really, I think that the thing that I would imagine the women struggle with is that they are money people, mm-hmm. right? They're all businesswomen. Yeah. So like they do care about mm-hmm. money in some way. And, you know, Andy pointed out that Jen said in her audition tape, she sends $50,000 a year or a month, $50,000 a month, which is like,
damn.
So, like, that's a lot of money. But again, I would just be like, it's more than my yearly salary. And I would just be like, whoa, again, because I don't really know a lot about money. My only thought was, wow, that's a rich lady. Yeah. You know, like, I didn't really, but I did think that it's a very important thing for Jen to have pointed out for people like me, the white women watching, to be aware of that the intense questioning of where she gets her money from is before the trial, before she was indicted, was a very inappropriate question. Yeah.
And, you know, I think, mm-hmm. especially like in the climate that we are in, that's like very mm-hmm. highlighted. But also something I want to bring up, you know, when you go and meet someone new, you know, so say me and you are meeting for the first time mm-hmm. and we're like, say we like, I know you through podcasting, but we haven't really talked. We just see each other. And then I'm mm-hmm. in your city and I hit you up. Hey, Maggie, like we haven't hung out, but I would love to see you. I'm in New York. And you're like, oh my gosh, I seen Jacob on the podcast. Like, I would love to like, you know, I would love to meet him. So we go get coffee. Mm-hmm. One of the first questions that I think either you or me would ask or I would ask is, hey, what do you do? I feel like that's like a mm-hmm. general friendly, like wanting to get to know someone, wanting to know their lives.
Absolutely.
Kind of question.
Small talk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for that not to make sense, initially I probably would be like, okay, you know, I'm not really worried about it. But I feel like that's a general question that some people would have. And not even in a judgy way, but like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like, what do you do? I want to know you. But also, you know those videos on TikTok or just Instagram or Twitter where people go up to people like that's driving expensive cars and they ask, hey, what do you do? And it was one video of the woman and she said, mm-hmm. I'm married. What are you talking about? Which I think was just iconic. Mm-hmm. But I just, people are nosy, but also like people, I feel like that question of what do you do? Like shouldn't be like a surprise. And that's not really what the surprise was. It was the, I think it was the interrogation and the kind of judgment notion about what she does and not making sense
Absolutely.
To them that ticked her off. And that made her kind of say what she said. But yeah, I think, and especially in this climate, and Jen has made this kind of, she said this last year with, you know, in regards to her and Mary being the only minorities on the cast. And then it kind of comes into this. So it's a thing that everyone just needs to be conscious of, especially going into next season and especially watching, you know, as the audience. And so, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that, yeah, it's something that is just going to be a continued part of the conversation because, like, she is indicted for allegedly embezzling money and wire fraud from, like, the elderly. So, like, I feel like it's just a weird line to toe. And I just think it's something that, like, for sure, if I am ever talking about it inappropriately, I know you'll call me out on that. And I think that it's something that everybody should be aware of as we move through the whole trial process and, with Jen, and we watch that play out.
And I just had it. Okay, I'll hopefully it will come back to me. It was really good too. I missed it, but yes, kind of echoing what you said. Oh wait. Also, great. I think this would have been a great time for Jen to explicitly say what her company does. And she said, like, oh, okay, I have this company, I have this company. But the only playback that we got to see was Whitney re-describing what she believes that Jen's company does without Jen kind of clarifying what is your company? What do you actually do? And Jen got upset with Whitney because Whitney was saying, oh, we've never even had conversations about my company. So, like, what? I don't like you making just statements going out there and saying that. But I feel like this would be a really opportune time for Jen to say exactly what she did to put every question down, but she didn't take it. So it makes me believe, is what Whitney said, right? It's like, Whitney just clock what Jen did? And it's like, I just would have loved to hear exactly from Jen's mouth what she does, because that's a question. And I feel like silence everything.
You're right.
Like, they, Jen and Sharif should have came with multiple receipts, multiple explanations to kind of kill every sound that the ladies could imply or that was implied throughout the season. And I feel like they left little holes still for people to poke. So
Well, there was a lot of answering of questions with, oh, I can't talk about that because of the case.
Yeah, it was there.
Because of the case, I can't talk about that, which, like, is fair, but also, you know, it's like an easy out. So the husbands leave. Are we done with the husbands? No other points?
No other points.
Maybe
no.
We'll bring them up if we need to. Okay, so the husbands leave, and we see Lisa go over and give Heather and Whitney a hug. And Andy asks after that, Andy's like, oh, so I saw this happen. Heather, this is so interesting because you were going really, really hard, at least at the beginning of this day, which I'm glad Andy clocked her. And I thought this was so interesting because Heather says, well, I just really thought Lisa was going to come in, you know, remorseful with her hat in her hand, like ready to apologize. But she's out here continuing to do her daily affirmations of how she's a perfect person and how she's completely justified. And which, that is what Lisa does. And that's why she is camp and she is iconic to me. And Heather is saying, like, she just got triggered by it. And I think, to me, this just comes back to the point that Evan made, where I think this is like that Mormon mindset of, like, I am perfect. Like, I want to be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, this is all that I can do to be perfect, to get into heaven and, you know, all of this. And I think that just even that, like, whole mindset around, like, perfection and, like, being completely unwilling to be truthful about your mistakes or your wrongdoings, like, really triggered Heather.
Yeah, I think so too. And it was interesting just to see how after the hug, and because first off, the hug pissed me off because we saw
it pissed
me off because
I was like, Jacob was gonna hate this.
No, because literally, like, this whole, is this an act? Is this like, what, you don't actually hate this woman, you want to be friends with this woman, you want this woman's, I feel like you want this woman's approval, like, in my own mind, the way that I saw that scene happen, because Andy was like, well, we saw a little kumbaya session between y'all, and for Heather to come in the way she did, when even me and you were questioning, why is she coming in this way? She was just friends at the end of the season with Lisa. And now the tune is completely flipped because Lisa made a couple comments about polygamy cousins. And I think that's really the only thing that she was harping on. And I guess the text messages that Angie showed them. But after that fight, how Lisa just went over there and gave them a hug and sat down and talked to them, and they're like, we love you, we don't want to fight with you, Lisa. Like, it was disgusting. It was like, girls, really, like, have a backbone. I'm like, yo, like, if you don't want to fight with her, don't do it to appease the audience, or because you know that Lisa's going to get the most flack, and so you want to put your ship on that sea or whatever. Like, it was just very thirsty, very try hard, very like your true emotions are when the cameras aren't rolling. And they probably didn't think that moment was going to be picked up because it was a quote unquote behind the scenes when they weren't actually like in the setting of the reunion. They were on a break that Lisa went over there. And I'm just like, y'all don't really hate this girl. Y'all don't really feel the emotions that y'all are displaying out there right now. This is very tired and fake and forced. And I got very pissed. But I saw something on Twitter that said like, Lisa's a very smart woman, because as Jan and Meredith are turning against her, she's going to try to get allies with Lisa and Whitney. I mean, with Whitney and Bad Weather, to be like, okay, girls, like, I love y'all. Like, you know, can someone like me? And they're like, Lisa is going to be around this show for so long because she knows how to pivot. And I was like, she does know how to pivot.
Yes.
She knows how to pivot. And I feel like she pivoted.
Which is why she would be a great Big Brother player.
I'm not going to say that. You will never get that from me. But but I can stretch to the fact that she knows how to pivot, and she is, in my mind, like, she worked the system. She worked those women. And as she's seen Jen and Meredith turning against her, she wanted to at least hold on to some type of friendship that she could have with ladies that she knows that, like, oh, they don't hate me. Like, they're saying this stuff right now, but they don't actually hate me. They love me. And I think she knew that.
They don't hate me. They want to be me.
No, literally. They count Lisa Barlow's in their sleep. And I think we saw even Heather's kind of position with Lisa in a way of, oh, she feels that she owes Lisa something, because she said Lisa, and then she said Lisa is the reason why she's on the show. And then Meredith was like, well, me too. And so Lisa and Meredith pitched, like, you know, say like, oh, you should talk to Whitney to be on the show. And that's how she came. And so I feel like she's kind of indebted to her for this platform, where
Heather to be on the show.
But like, yeah, she got you on the show, but it's your opportunity to take it and make it what it is. And I just, it just really irked the shit out of me when that moment happened.
Yeah, it was really, I just completely echo everything that you say. Actually, I think you really hit the nail on the head with this one. Like, you know what I want from Heather in season 3?
What?
I want a messy dating storyline.
So
I want her to come out with this boyfriend. I want her to have a boyfriend that nobody likes. And that's what I want for her. That's the storyline I want from her. And I want her at the end of the season to get great redemption and dump him.
I want her to date the same man that Jen Shaw was alleged to be sleeping with.
Stop.
Yes, ma'am.
Jacob.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's why you're a better Housewives fan than I am. Because I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yes. We love thought out production work.
Yes, absolutely. Jacob, if you could be on The Real Housewives, you would be a housewife that pushes the story forward.
Definitely.
So I did want to touch on this, because a lot of this second half of this reunion is just like really Andy talking to Jen about all of it, all of the stuff that she's been through. And she brought up the ring footage. And I know you had incredibly strong opinions on the ring footage when we watched the episode. Did Jen's explanation of it change any of that for you?
Do you want to say what Jen's explanation is?
Yes. Yeah. So she says that she gave the footage to the producers because she thought it was important to see that it doesn't matter if you live in a gated community in Park City. This is how her sons and her cousin and nephew were treated in 2022. And she said that she talked it over with Sharif, and they thought it was important to show that this happened to their family. And she says it was so dangerous for her children. Like, if God forbid one of her children made a wrong move, like there were literal guns pointed at them. So yeah, that was her explanation yeah. that she gave.
And I love that mm-hmm. it was pointed out that she gave them. And Andy said, why did you give us the footage? Mm-hmm. And I love that that was pointed out. Mm-hmm. I mean, who am I to say if her reasoning was correct? For me, if I want to wrap my head around the idea of that, yeah, I'll be like, okay, I can understand that. I just still like would not have mm-hmm. wanted that on TV. And I can see where, you know, we're watching a housewife show that is predominantly, I mean, catered to a white audience. We're in Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. majority of the cast is white. And I can see her wanting to inform, you know, just, you know, the audience about what's going on, like in America, even though, you know, some people, they may see what's going on, but they may turn a blind eye to it. But when you're watching this show that's predominantly catered mm-hmm. towards, like, it's catered towards, like, you know, white women.
Yeah.
Then I feel like you can't.
I mean, it's Utah.
Literally, you yes. can't kind of pivot from that. You have to see that. And so I can see, like, oh, it can mm-hmm. be like, this happens even if you, like, live in this type of house, even like. But I feel like just so many times we see, and even in movies and in media, we see so many like slave movie remakes. We see so many like mm-hmm. black people going through the same turmoil of racism. And it was this beautiful thread, like not so long ago, talking about, why do we keep like, it's kind of like a, it's like it's like a trigger. It's triggering for like different people. Just like,
re-traumatizing.
Yeah. It's making the same movie. And like, we understand like what happened. I can see why she did it. I just think we've seen black men with guns to their faces so many times, in America, and seeing it mm-hmm. again, for me personally, and I guess because I am a black person, it doesn't push the point home, because the point is already proven that, you know, what it is, mm-hmm. you know, what the state of the matter is. Mm-hmm. I would still have liked to not see it. If I could go back and she wouldn't have not gave us the ring footage, I would have been super, super happy, because that's just a very like traumatizing and like, and especially like Bravo, who I don't feel like Bravo is a network to really take care of that footage. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's just like, throw it in there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's not Dateline. Yeah. And so, you know? Mm-hmm.
And like, that's the only point that we got to talk about that. Like, we didn't see Jen talking to her kids about like, hey, like mm-hmm. this happened to y'all. Or we didn't see her in confessionals, just like more explaining like, hey, this happened in America. We see, you know, we know what's happening in America.
Yes.
But I feel like that video footage was just shown. It was no conversation about it till this point, which is the reunion where you can. But I feel like they should have nurtured that clip better than just like putting in there no conversation about it, or like black man being gunned down and black people being discriminated against and racial, you know, things mm-hmm. and things like that. And the only racial context that we got on this show was in regards to people calling, you know, Mary a racist. And so like that clip mm-hmm. should have been taken better care of throughout this season. And that was a very poignant clip. And yeah, it should have been handled more with care than I think just, oh, we're just going to show it and that's really it, you know? So that's my thoughts on it.
That's such a good point. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that it's so important to hear that perspective, and thank you for taking the time to go through all of that, because I know it's a heavy, heavy thing. Should we talk about the boob cake to lighten it up?
I wish Mary was here for that, because Mary had opinions on it on Twitter Spaces.
Her face on the reunion would have been amazing. Honestly, this reunion was really hurt by the fact that Mary wasn't there. It's tragic. Basically the rest of all of this is we see Jen be like, I feel like Whitney is a flip-flopper, because she went on Watch What Happens Live and said that she thought that I had a sugar daddy. Mm-hmm. And then Heather, of course, comes to Whitney's aid and is like, well, she didn't mean it like that. And I was like, oh my God, she can talk
literally
for herself. Like Heather Shosh.
She's cousins.
Oh my gosh. But like, God forbid somebody stands up for Lisa Barlow mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, how dare, you know what I mean? But like, nobody can say anything about Whitney. Which Whitney did get on Watch What Happens Live and say she thought she had a sugar
daddy. I don't know how you can misconstrue that.
Yeah, and I don't on it. Like, I thought that when Whitney was saying that, I thought that it was just like cheeky. You know, it's like the idea that like she just thought she didn't know how she made her money because business wise, it didn't make sense. So she just thought somebody else was on payroll, you know, like something like that. But Jen, of course, was like, of course, because I would feel this way too. Like, yeah. I'm not saying that Jen was wrong to feel this way. I was incredibly insulted by that. And Jen got emotional and she said, I put this in quotes. She feels like people are like, hey, Jen, you should be happy. Even if you have a friend who shows up 60% of the time, you should be so happy, even if we shit on you, because you need all the friends you can get right now. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Heather, like, you've been bringing up that I've been a bad friend to you. And I like wish you would stop that, which like, I'm torn about that because like, Heather's allowed to talk about her experiences. Like it's in the past, but it's also relevant to this exact moment, you know? And then she goes after Lisa.
No, literally.
And calls her bitch. And Lisa's like, okay, don't call me bitch. And Jen's like, bitch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they like get into a little schoolyard battle, which I thought was funny. But I feel like that was sort of really the rest of the substance.
It really was.
You
it
know?
Really was. Yeah, because that whole beef. And then it was kind of like a everyone's thoughts about the reunion. But I feel like that was kind of the only like point. And it's interesting mm-hmm. to see like how, because I think when Whitney is told something, I feel like in this situation, she kind of like owned up to the fact that she did, even though Heather did stand mm-hmm. up for her. So I don't think she kind of skirted around the issue with Jen. Yeah, it was okay. TBH.
Yeah. They did also bring up Meredith talking about those creepy messages that she got. Jen was like, why would you think it's me? And Meredith was like, well, I did all of that behind the scenes and I never brought it up because I didn't know it was you. But I saw in your indictment, it talked about encrypted messaging, which triggered me and made me think, oh, maybe this is relevant. And Jen didn't really come back too hard after she said that, which makes me believe that Jen probably saw the logic there and was like, okay, that's fair.
I can't say too much about this one.
What do you mean?
Like Jen was like, okay, I don't have a response to this. So like, yeah.
Oh, exactly. She was like, oh, well, that actually logic really follows, which is what Meredith Marks has done the entire reunion.
Point. Absolutely.
And then the last really big thing was Andy being like, the New York City DA has a success rate of conviction of 95%.
Why would he say that? So like,
because he's messy.
Oh, I was like, wait, I cringe because this girl is sitting right here and she's about to go through the process.
She's like crying. She's like, well, yeah, that's because everybody takes a plea deal. But I'm fighting.
Like Stu did.
I was like, Andy, have a little tact.
No, literally, messy ass. Top.
Messy. So, end of season three, they all give their thoughts. I thought that the really only interesting person with their fact is Lisa saying that she's realized a lot in the past 5 days. And she realizes that I have a hard time being vulnerable. And it's because people don't see me for who I am. And I thought that that was just like, So
camp.
Marlo.
So camp.
No, I don't think that that was camp. I think that that was just like, she's just being extra. No. Like, okay.
I'm like, girl, pick up those tears. And like, she had that like, I just feel like I can't be myself. And I feel like she's kind of made that excuse a lot in this room. Like, I feel like mm-hmm. people want me to be perfect all the time. Like, and then the girl kind of like, no, we don't want you to be perfect. We want you to be yourself. Like, no, it's not about being perfect. I don't even feel like Lisa Barlow tries to be perfect. You're messy as hell. Own that shit. Walk in stride with it and come back in season three. And if you're going to be that villain and puff your chest out and tell these women where it is. That's all I want from you, Lisa Barlow.
What are your hopes? Yeah, what are your hopes for season three?
Hopes for
like, if you have three things that you can make happen, what are they?
I want to explore the building friendship between Jen Shaw and Meredith Marks. I want to see that. I mm-hmm. want to see them at the beginning of the season, I want to see them kind of go at Lisa Barlow because it's what she deserves. Because since they did start filming mm-hmm. this new season, right, like a couple weeks after the reunion, emotions are still high. And I kind of want to, mm-hmm. I kind of want to see a tag team duo if that could be. I don't know if Meredith is fully going to indulge in that because like she still like has her reservations mm-hmm. and her boundaries set, not a grudge, but her boundaries set, which I thought was uh-huh. really good. And so I want to see that.
I was like, I'm stealing.
I am too. I want to see that relationship kind of build. I want to see Bad Weather break apart, not in like, oh, their relationship is like separating or like going down, because I don't think their relationship ever will because they're cousins. And I think that having that ally there is something that these other women don't have, but I want to see them kind of break apart because I'm tired of mm-hmm. hearing like they say the same thing, prove the same point. I want to see different, like I want to see them mm-hmm. on different sides, not saying they hate each other, but I want to see them on different sides. I want to see mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow, and this is my third request, I want to see Lisa Barlow own who she is to the fullest, because Lisa Barlow,
yes.
when you own who you are, like you will literally like, I will be yours, because I'm not mad that you do mm-hmm. the certain things that you do. Yeah, you should not have said that about Meredith, but just the fact that you try to like throw the stone, then like pretend like you're a great person when like, you know, like, oh, I'm messy as hell, I talk a lot of shit, and mm-hmm. I'm going to say it and I'm going to own it. Like, don't try to paint yourself, oh, like as this beautiful friend, as just like, be authentic and don't care what these other women think. And if you bring that energy into next mm-hmm. season, my stand card will definitely still be with Meredith, but I may, you know, tiptoe into the Lisa Barlow pond and stick my toe in and kind of submerge mm-hmm. myself.
Join us. No, the water's great.
I don't want
Jacob.
You. I don't, it's
the
murky.
Great.
The water's very murky. I heard over there. The water at mm-hmm. Meredith Mark's house is very clear, blue, beautiful. So what are your three wishes?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my three wishes. I want to watch Jen Shaw take her stand against Jenny that I know she took
mm-hmm.
because Jen doesn't play. Mm-hmm. And I want, because I think my biggest issue with Jen is that for a lot of reasons, I don't really respect her. But I do respect that. I think that she is strong and she really knows what she's talking about when it comes to the racism that she and her family has faced. Mm-hmm. And I really want to root for her.
Mm.
And I'm really looking forward to see her, what she does in regards to the Jenny situation, because I know that she's going to deliver. Like, I just know, and not like I'm interested to see what she does. Like, no, I think I know what she did. And I can't wait to watch her just like be a fucking
You think
boss.
That's going to be, you think know? That's going to be like, on the footage?
I do.
Really?
I do. They were filming when it happened. I mean, they told the women not to post about it because they were filming. If the Jenny stuff is never brought up, shame on Bravo.
And I mean, TBH, I can kind of see it not being brought up. Because I think like they probably in their mind, like, think, okay, we put a public statement, she's not on anymore. Like, they probably gave her the contract right after the reunion and she signed for Orange to season 3 and then they fired her. So in their mind, like, it kind of is a contract.
Well, if she
problem.
Signed the con, but if she
but
signed
she
the
got
contract,
fired, so it's like,
that means they can talk about her.
But I just feel like since she's not like, they can talk about her, but I think like they, Bravo in a lot of ways want to move past certain things. And so I just don't know if they will echo that point again. And so I don't know. I don't have any hopes that they will bring it up. I just don't think they will, but we can speculate.
Okay, well, that's what I want.
I'm saying no to your three wishes. I'm saying no.
You're like, never going to happen. So I want that. I want to, I'm really looking forward to seeing how Lisa and Meredith move forward. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch Lisa navigate all of this. And I hope she's just as unhinged. Like, I hope we get some like scream, cry, yelling Lisa Barlow moments, just because it's like so over the top and out there. And then my third wish, Jacob, not to be this girl, but I want Angie Harrington.
Oh,
I want her. I want
totally
her. I want her to come. I want her to be allied with Bad Weather. I want her to bring the drama because I know it'll happen. And Angie Harrington is also so messy and desperate to get on this show. So I can only imagine she comes on Besties with Bad Weather and it goes all wrong from there. So I can't, that's what I want.
I think Angie is the type of person to throw anyone under the bus to like create drama. Yes. And I can even see like, say the season goes on, I could see Bad Weather and Angie getting into it if like Angie really does the
that's
most.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we know if Angie's like, coming, and she's going to be at Lisa Barlow's throat. But I can still feel like, say Lisa Barlow is, she's good at what she does, and she can kind of charm her way back in. And then she's like, and then Angie starts talking shit. Well, you know, Bad Weather said this about you. And then we get Bad Weather versus Lisa and Angie, or just something like that, you know, fan fiction here.
Or just, yeah, absolutely. We're totally fan fictioning. Or like, she comes in, she's besties with Bad Weather. And then all it takes is like one day with Jen Shaw where Angie says something about Whitney to Jen Shaw. And, you know, I just think that like there's a big pot to be stirred. And I'm very hopeful for the Angie Harrington shakeup.
I am. So another wish is that the women dress better next reunion. That's another wish.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Hopefully.
Honestly, I liked Whitney's better as it went on because we were seeing from here up, like we were seeing chest up, and it was basically just an off the shoulder, and the emerald green did look nice on her, and I really liked her makeup.
The velvet was so
Whitney's
beautiful.
Eyeliner I thought looked gorgeous. But Heather, get you a designer dress.
Get you a stylist.
Get a designer dress. Yeah, you're beautiful. You are beautiful. Dress for how beautiful you are.
And Meredith, get you another stylist and don't use your son next time.
Jacob said it, not me.
I know, but that's my girl. You know, we speak in love here.
Absolutely. It's all from a place of
really
love.
Is.
Okay, are we done?
I think so.
It?
Everyone, thanks for going on this journey with Maddie and I on completing a...
Yes, if you enjoyed, please review.
Yes.
Please leave a review so that we can do this for season 3.
Gosh.
Like, let Rob know. Tweet Rob. Write reviews on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. Like, please let him know that you enjoyed because we would love to get picked up for season 3.
We would love to. Like, this has been...
I hope we don't get fired.
Oh, my gosh. We're getting indicted. Guys, thanks so much. Like, this has been, I feel like, a great for me and Maggie. Like, it's been very, like, it's been something to do on a Monday night. Like, sometimes we have to skip weeks through the holidays or do the personal obligations, but it's been so fun to come here and to talk to everyone and engage with everyone. Like, when we go out to like events, we see all the people that support us and listen to our podcast, and it feels like so good. We met a ton of y'all or some of y'all on Wednesday at the Survivor premiere parties, and it was just so fun to see and to hear and to like know that people are actually listening to us, and it's a very sobering thought. And so like, thank y'all for giving us y'all's thoughts, DMing us more tea about the Housewives, information that we may miss.
Oh my gosh. All of the tea that you guys sent us, thank you so much. Like, you know who you are. I love you. Like, we love you. Thank you so, so much.
Yes.
It's been really, really fun to sort of get to know all of you throughout the season and hear from
and
you.
And thanks
all.
For everyone like that guested on our, that came on as a guest on our podcast. Like, you
oh
know,
my
that
gosh,
was like,
we had so many good guests.
And it's just like, they brought so much to the show, insight that they have, personal opinions. It was just a ball of fun. And Maggie, thank you as well for just like being here for 6 months, 24 episodes. Almost half
Thank
a year,
you, Jacob.
And we've had a ball.
This was
no,
fantastic.
It really was.
Are you
like,
kidding?
This is so fun. We're still going to hang out. We're like friends now.
I know. We're giving strong lasting
no,
school energy on this podcast. I feel
literally
like a little sad, but also like ready for
no,
summer.
Literally.
But like
this
you
is
know.
Like our last like Monday podcast. Like at night at this time for a long time, you know what I mean? Talking about like, you know, this show.
Yes.
And so it's very sad, but also I'm excited to like, you know, do other things on Mondays as well. But I'm excited to
listen
to Maggie on Temptation Island, and hopefully I can come on as a guest. And
oh my God, please.
And
please.
The episode drops tomorrow, right?
Literally, that's all we want. Yes,
okay,
it does. It drops tomorrow. I'm so excited. It's going to be wild.
I'm excited for it.
So, if you want to hear more from me, Please subscribe to the Hot Dummies on Islands Rehap Up feed. Kirsten and I will be recording those Temptation Island episodes on Thursday. If you listen, if you watch the very first episode and listen to the podcast, it's one of those shows that you can just listen to the pod.
I love that.
You know, let me tell you, I've watched not a single episode of the 90 Day the Other Way that Robin Puya are doing, but I listen to every single podcast. I can tell you what's going on with Memphis and Hamza.
Wait, I love that.
But I don't even know what they look like. I literally, they could walk by me on the street and I wouldn't know. So like, if you have any interest in hearing me talk anymore, come join us. Those will be dropping Friday mornings, those podcasts. You can hear me on the Big Brother Canada coverage. I'm doing a live feed update Thursday morning. I usually do Mondays, but this week was sort of weird. And, I guess that's me. You can find me on Instagram at _MLMorgan or on Instagram at @MLMorgan_. TikTok is the same. And then on Twitter, it's at _MLMorgan. Jacob, where can people find you if
people
they want to keep up with you? Keeping up with Jacob Jones.
Literally, it should be a show. People can find me on Twitter or anywhere at @JacobJ_Jones or, you know, walking the local New York streets, covering Big Brother, do live feed updates and, you know, just different things like that. So I'll probably hop in on, you know, just different ones. That's where you can find me. I don't have any set thing going on right now, podcasting wise, but, you know, other than that. So yeah, catch me on there, DM me. Also everyone, because I just love this housewife so much that, you know, since Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is ending, Candy Burris, who I love, has a new show on Bravo called Candy the Gang, and it's super funny. If I was her restaurant staff and career, it's kind of like a Vanderpump Rules, but it's Candy, it's Atlanta. If Real Housewives of Atlanta, so watch, because I'll probably be tweeting up a storm about Real Housewives of Atlanta and Married to Medicine, and go back and watch Married to Medicine. And I said this before when we had Dr. Evie on, mm-hmm. but when you go back and watch Married to Medicine, and on Hulu they have all the seasons, it's such a good show, such a good show, such a good show. So DM me about that if you want to continue talking, and don't forget to rate and review us, because we want to do this again and we can do it with your help. So thank y'all so much.
Okay, we love you guys. All right.
We have to say, like, love you, baby. Bye.
Bye.
It was a lag. Oh my gosh.